Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us. Happy Monday. Big football weekend coming up. Chad Brown's going to join us. Former NFL All-Pro at linebacker, played for the Steelers, the Seahawks, and the Patriots, was a star at the University of Colorado. He's going to join us to talk a little college football and NFL coming up in about 30 minutes from now. But we begin in Tampa Bay, where the Buccaneers get another impressive victory yesterday over the Las Vegas Raiders, and we'll be adding Antonio Brown to the mix. We found out this on Friday night. Here with Bruce Arians answering questions about AB.
On a day like today, it didn't look like you need more receivers. So why Antonio Brown?
It's an insurance policy. You know, when we don't have Mike and we don't have Chris, why not have another Pro Bowl player, caliber player, that's available that fits our cap and fits everything else? So why not? We have good players. You can't have enough of them. You know, when in Chicago, we got one of our top guys out there on one leg. Why not have another one? I think he's matured. And I believe in second chances. Everybody wants to say that Tom picked him. Tom didn't have anything to do with it. This was something Jason and I have been talking for a couple of weeks, ever since the injuries to our other guys. And when the time was right, would we see if we could pull the trigger and fit it into what we want to get done? And we'll see. I mean, we have nothing. If Antonio does what I think he's going to do, he's going to be fine.
Okay, let's just call it as we see him. There is absolutely no way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers look to acquire Antonio Brown if Tom Brady is not on this roster. Tom Brady is basically the only guy within that organization right now that can vouch for Antonio Brown. Last year, albeit a very short stay, Brady and AB worked together. They were under the same roof. And Tom Brady may have, likely has, positive thoughts about Antonio Brown. We've seen him do this on social media. Vouch for, defend AB publicly. Act as a friend and an ally to a guy that doesn't have many of them these days. So for Bruce Arians and Jason Light, the idea that they, without Tom Brady on the roster, would have the stomach to bring in Antonio Brown is laughable. It's laughable. It's comical. Because not only would this Buccaneers team not have any experience with Antonio Brown being on his good behavior, they also wouldn't be looking to add another piece to an offense that just put up 45 points. They're doing quite fine, thank you. And Tom Brady is spreading the football around to all of his different receivers and wants another weapon. And so when they signed Tom Brady, Brady wanted some say over the roster, which is why Rob Gronkowski is on the Bucks, which is why Gronk came out of retirement because of Tom Brady going there. Brady got that say, and he got this win bringing in Antonio Brown. The Buccaneers also wouldn't have an organization that would be steady enough, healthy enough, and accountable enough to withstand AB's potential distraction unless Tom Brady was there. So it is a lie to say that Brady had nothing to do with this. But you say that because you don't want to act as though one player is more power than the other players in the locker room. This is why in week number one, Bruce Arians called out Tom Brady publicly. It's because I'm sure they are concerned that Brady looks as though, with the rest of the locker room, he calls the shots and that he has more power than the other players do, and that skews your power structure in an NFL organization. But make no doubt about it, this is a Brady addition. This is also about Tom Brady wanting to assemble a super team. This is a LeBron-esque move where Brady is saying, acquire all of the talent, I'll figure it out. And that's what he's saying. In the offseason, they already had two excellent wide receivers. They already had a tight end. Bring in Gronk. Bring in LeSean McCoy. Bring in Leonard Fournette. Bring in Antonio Brown. I'll take them all and I'll figure it out. He's building a super team. Does it end up in a championship the way that LeBron's teams have? Who knows? The NFL is a one-game season throughout the playoffs. So while LeBron knows the most talent will rise to the top over the course of a seven-game series, and he controls so much of a game, much more so than Tom Brady does, because LeBron gets to play defense. Tom Brady is going into this season going, get everything, acquire everything, and I'll figure it out. Okay. Do I think that the Buccaneers need Antonio Brown to get to the next level? Absolutely not. They're already proving that they can get there. And while they have had two dispiriting losses to the Saints and the Bears, where Brady did not look good, the offense did not look good, they've had more games than that where he has looked very good. He's had games where one half looked bad or the next half looked great, like against the Chargers. But Brady is clearly rounding into form with his teammates. They've got plenty of weapons to win already. And more than that, they have a balanced team. They have a defense that also can pick up its share of the responsibility, as witnessed by the win over the Green Bay Packers. The Buccaneers are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, with or without Antonio Brown. They didn't need AB. And we'll see what they get with Antonio Brown. Perhaps they inherit an Antonio Brown that is properly humbled, that is hungry for a redemption tour, that respects Tom Brady, and maybe the Buccaneers benefit from bringing him in. I don't think he's the difference between them winning a Super Bowl and not, and thus I think he's unnecessary to their goals. I think his potential downside is bigger than his potential upside for a team that already has big play downfield threats. But there's no doubt that Antonio Brown is absolutely a Brady addition. There's no doubt that this doesn't happen unless Tom Brady is on the roster and Brady wants him, because the Buccaneers would not bring in Antonio Brown to a locker room that didn't have a Tom Brady to steady it. Let me tell you, this is all setting up for one of the greatest FUs in NFL history and sports history. That Brady is slinging it. He spread the football around to all of his weapons, and the Buccaneers are a Super Bowl contender where the Patriots have no weapons, no quarterback, and are on a three-game losing streak and could be a sub-500 team. Yeah, the deck is stacked a little bit in Brady's favor because the roster is far better in Tampa Bay than it is in New England. But Brady is looking for a middle finger with a Super Bowl ring on it to shove in the face of Bill Belichick. That much is very, very obvious. And while Brady might be 43 years old, he's playing with a fire that we have not seen 40-something-year-old quarterbacks play with. It's a fire that we've never really quite seen from Drew Brees, that kind of outward passion. Montana didn't have this at his age in Kansas City. He wasn't 43, but up there. We have not seen this from the aging stars like Brett Favre with the Jets or the Vikings. Those guys could be good and effective, but they did not show the overall desperation and urgency that Brady is still showing. That part is real, that Brady is still not satisfied, even at 6 titles at 43 years old. And it's making the Buccaneers a super interesting storyline, especially against a bad Patriots team that has no quarterbacks and no weapons. Mraz, ultimately, do you like this decision by the Bucs to go after AB?
I don't, because to me, there's no benefit that can come of it truly. I mean, Arians is pointing to just strengthening up the fact that they want depth at the wide receiver position if one of these guys gets hurt. I guess, but as we alluded to a little bit here throughout the course of the season, how many more wins is Antonio Brown really going to give the Bucs on this roster? And entering a postseason game, if you had Godwin and Evans and what we thought they would be, is it that much a greater chance that you're going to win the game, win a, you know, a bigger game with Antonio Brown? Or is it a greater chance that he's going to do something stupid, say something stupid that completely rocks what's going on? You trust Tom Brady that he's the guy who can kind of keep Brown under his wing. But to me, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze for the kind of roster the Bucs have, where they were already a great group at wide receiver.
I agree. I think that this Bucs team had all the weapons they needed to potentially get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And of course, injuries can always pop up. And if Godwin or if Evans goes down in the playoffs, then that's a big hit. But knowing AB's baggage, knowing his history, I just got a tough time believing that he's going to be on the straight and narrow for this entire 6-month period or 5-month period, however long it's going to be. I would also say that careful before saying this is the greatest wide receiving core ever, because it's very good, but there's been some pretty quick hyperbole here. The late 90s, early 2000s Vikings had two Hall of Famers, the greatest deep threat ever in Randy Moss, the best possession receiver ever in Chris Carter, and a receiver that went for 7,000 yards in his receiving career, Jake Reed. The Indianapolis Colts had one Hall of Famer already and probably another one in Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. And then pick your third guy. Brandon Stokely was there. There's a number of guys that played that third role. They were very, very good. The Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s might not have had a third great option, but had two Hall of Famers as well, Lynn Swann and John Stallworth. I've yet to see the careers unfold to where two of these three guys are going to be in Canton. So it's a good wide receiving tandem or group trio. It's not the greatest we've ever seen in NFL history.
Yeah, and also Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and even an Azahir Hakeem. I'm taking that three over that three as well.
I agree.
Just relax. Let's pump the brakes. And if I could add the one positive on the Antonio Brown, and I should have mentioned this, here's where it could be a benefit. It might be the ultimate block move. And you saw this a lot of times in Major League Baseball around trade deadlines in the past, and it's kind of a thing of the past. But if AB ends up on the Seahawks or ends up on the Packers, dare I say, or on the Ravens, and that is a team where the Bucs end up seeing them and Antonio Brown is a greater threat against them by going off for 2-3 touchdowns, and that's how the Bucs got eliminated, then they'd be kicking themselves if they didn't have a handle on him. So maybe by getting him and making them third receiver, it actually blocks them from getting burned by him in a big game versus a team that really would have needed him.
Could be right. Very obviously also, AB had options, which is disappointing that he could be that much of a knucklehead for that long, and he had good options that the Patriots, or I should say the Buccaneers, were clearly interested in him. Sounded like the Seahawks were interested in him as well. Those are two of the best teams in football. I heard a caller on WFAN in New York gripe that the Jets didn't go out and get him. As though Antonio Brown, who had the option to play with Tom Brady, or Russell Wilson would opt for the Jets is so insane. And this is, I think people get so delusional that Antonio Brown was available. We should get Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown also has to choose your place of work because he has options. It wasn't like he didn't have options. He ain't choosing the Jets over Brady and the Bucks or Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Why would he come back for a second of the year on a winless team coached by Adam Gase? Why would that even register in his mind? As deranged as Antonio Brown could be, why would he ever think about doing that?
If he had no other options, that's his only NFL job, maybe he would say so. But if he had anything else, it's the worst option out there on the table.
Awful. And by the way, another, as the negatives keep rolling through with Antonio Brown, I'm sorry. With Florida wide open as far as this whole COVID situation, the last guy I want to bring into my locker room when you're worried about fines and everything else for, you know, causing some kind of outbreak because they didn't follow rules, Antonio Brown is the guy you're trusting in a pandemic to make sure he stays on the straight and narrow and focuses only on football during a pandemic where you see the Titans get big fines, games get moved around. What are you kidding me? In a state now where you can do whatever you want, Antonio Brown in Tampa? That's a nightmare in this scenario.
How crazy also that the Buccaneers picked up Gronk off of retirement, LeSean McCoy almost off of retirement, Antonio Brown out of suspension, and Leonard Fournette out of the Jaguars just trying to sell off pieces. And think about all of these crazy additions that the Buccaneers have made.
I don't understand how it's possible. And I know a lot of these guys aren't making a lot of money, but whenever it comes to my team, the Giants or something, it's like, wow, can we afford this B-level pass rusher because our salary cap's really tight? But suddenly any team that gets like a quarterback and feels in contention can just sign whoever they want, right? It's like, oh, they're good. They could fit him in. They could fit him in. Sometimes I don't understand the salary cap. I just don't get it. And this isn't just a Bucks thing. It's anytime a team is good, they seemingly could always add somebody else really awesome to put them over the top. But to get from 4 wins to 6 wins, I'm not sure the Giants can afford Lorenzo Carter. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
When we come back here on the show, Chad Brown's going to join us, former linebacking All-Pro in the NFL, to talk a little college football and the NFL, including what the AB edition does for the Bucs. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
DA, Mraz, Andrew Bogus, Pete the Body Bilotti, you guys are like my celebrities. I don't like Hollywood. I don't like movie stars, musicians, none of that. You guys are like my celebrities, and I really appreciate you guys every time I get a chance to listen.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're just a show's worth of about G-list celebrities, but we appreciate your support. With help from the Home Depot, you can take on fall projects without ever leaving your backyard. Download the Home Depot mobile app today to search, shop, and more. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. And our toll-free line, Funky, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Chad Brown's going to join us to talk college football and the NFL coming up in a few moments. But first, Andrew Bogish is our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. So the Seahawks hadn't lost after leading by double digits at halftime or lost in Arizona since 2012. Both of those streaks ended in OT last night.
20 seconds to go. Snap. Ball is down. Kick from Gonzalez is up. It looks good. It is good! The Cardinals win it! An incredible finish at State Farm Stadium. The Cardinals take down Seattle.
The great Dave Pasch on Cardinals radio. Zane Gonzalez good from 48 with 15 seconds left after missing earlier in OT. But then Russell Wilson threw his third pick, giving the ball back to Arizona. Kyler Murray threw for 360 and 3 scores and ran 1-2. Now, that game was in primetime because of the Raiders' COVID concerns. So in the afternoon, they took a 45-20 loss from the Bucs. That was just a four-point game, though, early in the fourth quarter. 5 total touchdowns yesterday from Tom Brady. The Browns outscored the Bengals 37-34, but Odell Beckham Jr. may have suffered a major knee injury. The Niners ran over the Patriots 33-34. 3-6. New England on its first three-game losing streak since 2002, the longest such gap in NFL history. The Steelers 27, the Titans 24 in a battle of unbeatens. The Lions got into the end zone as time expired in Atlanta. The PAT gave them a 23-22 win. And we had our first cold, snowy game of the season. The
that Chiefs was scary. That was scary. Yes. It was not even October 31st yet, and I tune in, and I'm watching a snowstorm in Denver. I know it's Denver, but it's the end of October. That was scary. You know what else was scary? On Saturday night, Michigan was playing at Minnesota, Gophers and Wolverines, and that at kickoff, I believe, was 28 degrees. Now, granted, this is a lot of what-ifs, but if this was a normal Major League Baseball season where games were being played at normal sites and the Twins happened to finally win a playoff game, we could have had a Twins World Series game played in the 20s. I mean, yikes.
17 degrees when game day was there in the morning. I was freezing watching it on TV.
That was scary.
17 degrees?
That was scary. Now, if this is mid-November, all right, fine. I can understand winter's here. But last week was a snowstorm in Minneapolis. A snowstorm. Yes, it's terrifying.
The Chiefs won, despite the scary weather, 43-16. They had a normal offensive touchdown. They had a pick six and a kick return touch on the first team this year to score in all three phases in the same game.
But, tonight, by the way, on that Bronco game, first of all, I don't know why I haven't noticed this. The fact that they have South Park characters as cardboard cutouts there is
awesome.
Unbelievably hysterical. Number two, I love this new fad of when the fans come in, having them sit within the cardboard cutouts, because you're just seeing a couple of them stand up and the cardboard cutouts down. It's hysterical.
Fills out, fleshes out the roster a little bit.
Yes, it does.
At 5:20 Pacific. And as Sean mentioned via G-Chat, which most of you can't see, everybody that breaks news in the NFL is saying that John Bostic is not going to be suspended for yesterday's hit on Andy
Dalton. I like Bogus saying that most of you can't see the G-Chat. Technically, none of you can see the G-Chat unless we have a few
people. I don't
know
what goes on Twitch these days.
That's true. You never know what Cap is actually using against us. He could absolutely be publicly putting our G-Chat on Twitch.
Hope not.
And I know for sure that I have committed at least one HR violation in that chat stream, so I need to be very careful. L.A. Dodgers.
You've already admitted
almost
more wrongdoing than Jeff Lunau ever has, Bogus.
The L.A. Dodgers are almost world champs for the first time since 88. They took game five from the Rays last night, 4-2, for a 3-2 series edge. Tampa Bay center fielder Kevin Kiermaier confident facing elimination.
If there's any team who can, you know, respond well with their backs against the wall, in a sense, no one is at stake. You know, we're in a situation now where it's win or go home. You know, our group is the group to, come through when we need it the most.
Kiermaier and the Rays offense again stymied by Clayton Kershaw. 5 2/3, 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He now has the most strikeouts in postseason history. Game 6 tomorrow night in Arlington. The Dodgers going back to Tony Gonsolin. Blake Snell will start for the Rays. And Arizona men's basketball reportedly facing 9 NCAA violations for its connections to the federal probe of recruiting corruption. 5 of those charges are level 1, the most serious. Head coach Sean Miller charged with a lack of control. And NASCAR is about to run yesterday's playoff race at Texas Motor Speedway. Rain kept them from doing that yesterday. DA, back to you.
Thanks, AB. Appreciate it. Joining us next was a Colorado Buffalo standout during his elite college football career. He was an elite NFL standout as well on defense for the Steelers, for the Seahawks, for the Patriots. He's a former All-Pro and Pro Bowler and now a member of the Media Compass Media Radio Network and Company. Joining us here on the show, little football analyst. Joining us here on the program, our friend Chad Brown. Chad, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, DA. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's always good to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for doing so. And I want to start with college football. When we had that crazy ending with Penn State and Indiana on Saturday night, Penn State had a chance to drown out the clock and not give it back to Indiana. Unfortunately, they scored a touchdown too quickly. Indiana able to get the football back, force overtime win in OT. How much of those types of decisions do you blame on the players versus the coach?
I blame the coach. It's an interesting thing when you look at, say, Alabama or Clemson over the last couple of seasons. They don't seem to make those kind of mistakes. So, you know, we've, as media, have kind of put James Franklin maybe not on the exact same tier as Nick Saban and guys like that, but we put him pretty darn close. And I think if you're going to stay at that respect level or stay at that level of consideration, you've got to go out and coach to that level. And so often there's a game through every season where James Franklin seems to be his own worst enemy.
It's so true. He's done really good things with that program, taking it over and obviously making them a contender, a top 10 team coming into the season. And yet there's one or two games a year where you just question his game management. And this one clearly came back to bite him. From another national perspective, let's look at the Alabama Crimson Tide, who get yet another big win, and yet they lose a big player. Jaylen Waddle, one of their best players, goes down with a huge injury. Do you think Alabama's talented enough to win a title even without their best receiver?
I did an Alabama game earlier this season. I did Alabama playing Texas A&M, and Mac Jones is an incredible quarterback. He's super accurate. I don't think he gets enough respect right now. I think people thought Alabama's quarterback play would step back after Tua Tagovailoa left. Mac Jones isn't nearly that elite special type of quarterback that Tua was, but he operates this Alabama offense at exactly the same type of level, despite not being that same elite type of quarterback. And let's face it, Alabama, while we think about them traditionally as being a defensive team under Nick Saban and having great running backs, look at Derrick Henry, what he's doing in the NFL, they've really become receiver U. They had two first-round receivers last year in the NFL draft. Jaylen Waddle will probably still be a first-round receiver this year. So I have to imagine somewhere in those four- and five-star recruits that Alabama brings in every single year, they've got another receiver who's ready to emerge. Losing a player as special as Jaylen Waddle certainly hurts, no doubt about that. But I got to imagine there'll be someone else who's able to step up for them.
Chad Brown joins us this morning here on the show. You know, both Oklahoma and Texas have played themselves out of the college football playoff, which leaves for the Big 12 basically Oklahoma State and nobody else. Are you an analyst that looks at the Big 12 and takes them seriously in the college football playoff race? Or because they've never won a college football playoff game as a conference, because there's very little defense played there, do you kind of brush them off as viable contenders?
I don't. I look at every season as unique unto itself. Yes. Should we pay attention to history? Should we learn the lessons from history? I think, of course, we should. But just because, you know, Penn State has beat Indiana, you know, as an example, only 20 times in a row, doesn't mean that guarantees them a victory the next time they play them. So while I certainly, you know, again, learn from what has happened in previous seasons, if Oklahoma State proves to be that team for this season, it's got nothing to do with the past. The Big 12, I think, in the end, their inability to stop virtually anybody and, you know, considering their style of play, which for some people seems like, hey, whoever has the ball last is going to win. And I did the Red River Showdown this year for Compass Media, and that was definitely the case. That game went to four overtimes. The lack of defense played in that conference, I think once the play moves to the national championship level, those teams just tend to no longer be viable because that philosophy, that playing style doesn't bode well to playing some of the greatest teams in the country.
Chad Brown joins us this morning here on the show. Over to the NFL. The Cowboys are in a bad way right now. They got their butts handed to them by Washington yesterday, and Andy Dalton goes down with that injury. And when he gets hit up high by John Bostic of Washington, none of the Cowboys players rushed to his defense. Nobody got in the face of John Bostic. It was very alarming. Even Mike McCarthy admitted after the game it was not the reaction he expected. You've been in that locker room. You've been in those huddles. You know what it takes to be a great team. What does that tell you about the Cowboys?
One of the first things that starts eroding when a season falls apart is your internal pride for the team, and you start making business decisions. When an offensive lineman goes after somebody who, you know, puts a dirty hit on his quarterback, that's not a business decision. That's that internal pride for your team and for what you represent. And while I certainly don't condone that kind of thing, I think, you know, if a player, I know John Bostic was ejected, but that if John Bostic wasn't ejected, find a way to get him back in the course of play over the next series or two. That's how I would prefer to handle that. I don't want to add, you know, any I don't want to respond with a dirty hit to it with another dirty hit, just as a general style of play for me professionally. But at the same time, again, when they don't go up and at least grab them or talk to them or, you know, gang up on them and have some angry words, that speaks to that declining pride in the locker room there. So the team culture for the Dallas Cowboys right now is particularly poor. You've got 11 guys out there, particularly on defense, but I think in some ways on offense as well, who are literally out there just trying to do their own thing. And it's showing up with how they played, showing up with this dirty hit yesterday with nobody stepping up to defend their quarterback.
You played on some ferocious defenses. I mean, those Steelers teams you played on were just – you guys were monsters. Do you remember a time where one of your teammates got injured, there was a dirty hit, there was a cheap shot, and you guys all rushed to the defense of that player?
Well, at that time, you know, we had a couple different quarterbacks. We had Neil O'Donnell, we had Mike Tomczak, we had Cordell Stewart. And it's hard to imagine a guy like Damani Dawson, Hall of Famer, a guy like Carlton Hasselrig, a five-time All-American wrestler. I don't even know how that's possible, but I believe he was five or six-time All-American wrestler. So those kind of guys, allowing that to happen. Now, you know, defensively, we certainly held our own, and we certainly had each other's back. But that type of thing tends to be an offensive lineman and a quarterback thing. Now, at the same time, with guys like Kevin Green in the Hall of Fame, guys like Greg Lloyd, who should be in the Hall of Fame, Rod Woodson, the Hall of Famer, of course we didn't let anybody mess with us under any circumstance ever. That was the attitude and the culture in which we played the game. For me to come in there as a young player, as a rookie, into that locker room, into that particular linebacker room with those guys, I quickly learned how NFL football works, and particularly how physical NFL football works. And if you want to be able to go out there and dish it out, somebody's going to try to return something to one of you or your teammates in a way that's not cool. And we just simply do not ever, ever, ever allow that. So I learned that probably within the first couple of preseason games, how we operated that Pittsburgh Steelers defense and how that whole team's culture was built. And it was physical, and we don't take anything from anybody ever.
That's interesting. Chad Brown joins us this morning here on the show. When it comes to this Steelers team, they just ended up getting that victory yesterday over the Titans. That means they're the last undefeated team in the NFL. Did you draw a lot of positives out of yesterday because they got the win, or was there a few things that you could be concerned about if you're a Steelers fan because they had a big lead and let it go away and the Titans nearly tied it up to force it to overtime?
Well, I think the Titans are one of the best coached teams in the NFL. Very creative offensively. Mike Vrabel showed last week against the Texans. I mean, he's even willing to push the rules in a bit when he put 12 guys on the field at the end of the game to stop the clock and hold those extra 40 seconds, which he needed because they scored with only 4 seconds on the clock to get the tying touchdown. So I think, yes, I certainly will talk about what the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do, but let's not forget the Titans are a pretty darn good football team. They have their issues defensively, but well-coached, and it's a really coordinated, rhythmic offense that is very difficult to defend. And I think that's where the Pittsburgh Steelers fall short, is defensively they just could not get themselves off the field yesterday, and they showed some issues in the secondary, particularly in the second half. So if the Steelers are going to continue their undefeated ways, they got exposed a little bit yesterday, particularly defensively. But I think even Ben and that offense, to your point, D.A., they got slowed down considerably in that second half, and they were unable to stay consistent. So the Steelers have to find a way, both offensively and defensively, to finish. And part of that's going to be improvement in that secondary play for the Steelers.
Finally, what'd you think about the Bucs adding Antonio Brown? Is it worth the risk and the baggage that he comes with?
You know, if I put on my general manager hat, to me, absolutely not. I've watched bad teammates, guys who are bad characters off the field, show up on the field with that bad character play. And it just, it goes to prove itself. If you think about the Cincinnati Bengals, who were coached by my former linebacker coach, Marvin Lewis, and guys like Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones. And if you think about over the years, the number of games, heck, that playoff game that they lost because those two guys in particular, guys with questionable character, were unable to maintain their discipline on the field. So it shows up at some place, sometime, and it tends to show up in the most unfortunate times. It tends to show up in the most critical moments. Guys don't suddenly revert to their bad selves, you know, when everything's going well. It's when things are going bad in the middle of a ball game, in a playoff game, when things are down and you need your best players to step up. The fact that Tom Brady, who should understand that from his New England days, I was a teammate of Tom Brady's, Bill Belichick will certainly bring some questionable characters into the locker room, but the second they prove themselves to not be about team, to not be about the New England Patriots, he finds a way to get rid of them. So for Tom Brady to bring Antonio Brown in, I have to imagine it would have to be those kind of discussions with Bruce Arians. As soon as this guy reverts to anything close to what he's been before, we've got to find a way to move on. I think it's far too risky. The ship for the Patriots, I'm sorry, for the Patriots, for the Buccaneers, is clearly going in the right direction. Todd Bowles has them playing really good defense. After, you know, a rocky start to the season, Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians seems to be on the same page with Tom Brady. Why risk upsetting the direction of the boat when it's going in the right direction right now?
It's a great question. We'll see if this ends up paying dividends or blows up in their face. There's some risk here, definitely. Chad Brown joining us this morning on the show after a three-time Pro Bowl NFL career, two-time All-Pro as well. Member of the Steelers, the Seahawks, and the Patriots over the course of his decorated career. Now member of the Compass Media Network, calling games on the weekend. It's always good to catch up with Chad Brown. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at ChadBrown94. My man, it is wonderful to hear your voice again. Thanks so much for doing it. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Hopefully we do it again soon for sure. And hopefully everybody on your end is happy and healthy in these crazy times, DA.
Back at you, Chad. Thanks so much for the kind words. I appreciate that.
You take it easy, buddy.
You too. Chad Brown joining us this morning on the show. Always excellent stuff. His stuff on the Cowboys not coming to the defense of Andy Dalton is excellent. He played on teams that was simply unacceptable. Those Steelers teams of the 90s, Patriots teams of the 2000s, unacceptable. Cowboys quit on their coach and their quarterback yesterday. When we come back here on the show, we have got advanced analytics for our poll question of the day. The bigger collapse this week in the Falcons or Penn State, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Who had the bigger choke job this weekend? Was it the Falcons, who had to simply run a few plays, kick the field goal, and win their game over the Lions? Or was it Penn State, who only had to kneel on the football and not give it back to Indiana, and yet lost in overtime? 60% of you said Penn State had the bigger choke job this weekend. 60%. Penn State loses to Indiana, which allows the Hoosiers to get ranked number 17, their best ranking since 1993. The Falcons' win probability in the fourth quarters this season against the Cowboys, 99.9. Against the Bears, 99.6. Against the Lions yesterday, 95.9. 0-3 in those games. Just brutal. Time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Boomer tweets in, DA, didn't Bruce Arians say a year ago that AB wasn't a good fit in the locker room? Forget a year ago, he said this in the spring. He told Tiki and Tierney this right here on CBS Sports Radio. That's that quote that went national, went viral. Is Bruce Arians saying he's not a fit? And you're going to tell me that that's not the influence of Tom Brady? Come on. Of course that is. It'd be better if Bruce Arians just said, you know what? I didn't have experience with him. Actually, he did. He was in Pittsburgh, Bruce Arians. He knew what was the problems with Antonio Brown. It would be better if Bruce Arians said, I haven't had contact with AB in a long time, but Tom told me last year how much he enjoyed playing with him, and we trusted Tom here. Why not say that? Why say Tom had nothing to do with this? That's crazy. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And this goes back to when we were talking about the World Series and just how crazy and zany Game 4 was with that nutto ending with the Randy Arozarena coming around and scoring after he fell down to slide into home plate after the ball is booted in center field. If only Mraz knew who booted it in center field. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And outside of Kershaw, last night was so important for Mookie Betts because Mookie Betts in the first year of this now long deal with the Dodgers, if they end up after he flubs around the ball in center field.
And it's bobbled by Taylor in center.
If they end up cascading into a couple losses and lose the World Series, and the Dodgers' pressure of not mounting continues to happen, I mean, then you're only looked at if you're Mookie Betts starting next year as, yeah, you were great, but remember when we had that game one and you flubbed around the ball in center field?
And it's bobbled by Taylor in center.
I mean, that was so important for Mookie to make sure they took care of business last night.
And it's bobbled by Taylor in center.
It was Game 4 is just an all-timer, and this series has had everything. And both these teams are so deserving of winning a World Series that just Fox has gotten everything they could have wanted. And, oh, by the way, Buck on that final call in Game 4 was awesome. It is so zany. It is so discombobulated. You don't know what is happening, and Buck nails it. He absolutely nailed it. He had the excitement, and you were on such a run, I didn't want to stop you, but I'm like, I don't think that was Mookie Betts in center field. I think he was replaced at that point in time.
And it's bobbled by Taylor in center.
And sure enough, Bogues corrected us during the break. That was not Mookie Betts who booted the ball in center field in Game 4.
And it's bobbled by Taylor in center.
Throw me in the bathroom. Throw me in the bathroom. And I knew yesterday when it happened, because that night when it happened, I'm with two other guys who said it was Mookie Betts. There's somebody else that works CBS Sports, we're not going to throw him under the bus, who since deleted a tweet talking about Mookie Betts.
And it's bobbled by Taylor in center.
And yesterday when I rewatched the play, I said, okay, it wasn't Mookie Betts. And I had it still in my stupid mind this morning because of laughing about Mookie Betts. And then I still go on the run of Mookie Betts. I need to go back to bed, throw me in the bathroom. My mistake. I made a boo-boo. Not a good way to start the week.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz has donned his paper bag from Friday's show after the Giants loss. Why do you keep saying, throw me into the bathroom?
You never saw Goodfellas the end?
I did.
Not Goodfellas. It's a Bronx Tale. Throw him in the bathroom. He's the mush.
In the bathroom.
So, yeah, instead of a bathroom. Throw me in the bathroom. I messed up. Throw me right in that bathroom.
How much run did you get over the weekend from your viral video of nearly crying, being brought to tears on Friday after the Giants lost with a paper bag on your head?
A lot of texts. I actually got recognized at the brewery that I was at.
As you wore your paper bag to the brewery?
I didn't. It turned out, because I made a reservation under my name, that the guy who ran the brewery knew who I was and said, by the way, you know, the brown paper bag. So, yeah, I made the rounds. What are you going to do? It's no big deal. Yeah, a little rant and away we go. I'm just kidding.
I'm surprised the bag's not in the West Babylon Museum by now.
This is why Mraz does believe one day there could be a Welcome to West Babylon, home of Mraz.
There will be a sound check tomorrow with people talking about the rant, put it that way. We do have that.
And where is this audio from? Another radio show?
Yes, another radio show that you know well that did quite the impersonation of you queuing me up for having no voice.
By the way, more breaking news for tomorrow's show. One of our D-Aliens, Dennis, has sent me some mornings upwards of 30 tweets. And so we were talking about this because he said his girls find Mraz attractive. And I said, yeah, they're probably 7-year-olds. Mraz insisted, no, they're hot college chicks. Dennis cleared this up. on Twitter for me.
Thank you. I'll be justified now.
So tomorrow you'll get clarification on that. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We'll see you tomorrow for a Trash Tuesday. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.